We have been working our way, and today we'll be completing the series. And just to put everything back in context, reach out there, grab it all, and put it back together for us. We started the study of the book of Galatians with the reminder or the thought that the message of Christ Jesus began way back in Jerusalem, and then under the anointing and the move of the Spirit of God, that message moved from Jerusalem and from a Jewish-centered culture into a world beyond, into a world that was very much made up of Gentiles and people that did not fully understand or know the history of Christ Jesus that had been, or of God, that had been revealed through the law and through the prophets that had grown up in the Israeli culture. And so as it moved out from a Jewish culture into this world beyond, into a people that didn't have the Old Testament, didn't know the things of the law, lots of questions came up. With those questions, the people of God were wrestling the extent to which things that had been part of the Jewish experience, the law itself with its sacrifices and all of its high holidays and celebrations, with all of its sacrifices and offerings, where did that fit into a culture now that was going to be made up of mostly Gentiles that didn't have that background? And so as Paul speaks to them, he puts it all back in context for them. He reminds them of the place that the law had, both in the culture of Jerusalem or of Israel, as well as in the mind of God. That this law that had been experienced or lived out day by day with the Jewish people, that for the Gentiles, this wasn't really part of their experience. And he explains to them that the law that had been written in what we call the Old Testament, he explains that that law was given because of sin, given because we of ourselves are not capable to really bring ourselves to that place where we live holy lives. And so the law was kind of like the training wheels on a bike. It wasn't the Gentiles' experience. It wasn't something that they lived with. And so in the mind of Paul, for them to go back and embrace this law, which wasn't their experience and had no power in it to affect how they lived day by day and their relationship with God, Paul said, if you go back and you try to embrace this and you embrace circumcision and you embrace these old sacrifices and the high festivals and things, he said, if you do that, you're rejecting the reality and the message, the person of Christ Jesus, and in fact, you're putting your very soul in peril because you're going back and embracing a system which by itself is impossible to bring you to a place of righteousness with God. And so if we just step away just for one moment, and I had shared this as we unfolded this message, that law, even if we disassociate it from the law of Moses, and we just think about law in general, in our own culture, law is given, it is given to help control people. It is a system of rules which regulate in some way the actions of a community of people. They set bounds over freedom. They kind of hold you in so that we're able to live in a community without killing each other, without hurting each other, without stumbling on each other. So with that concept in mind, that a law is there to restrain, to hold people in check, to put a bounds around the way we lived, Paul said the law, then in a similar way, it was simply a tutor. It was never intended to be the path through which you found righteousness. It was a tutor that was given along with the law, along with the messages of God and the prophets, that it might help us until we came to a spiritual maturity where we no longer needed it. So the law was that fence. The law, in Paul's mind, as he tried to help the Galatians and you and me understand it, the law was the bounds. Just like a child, you would put them in. We have a dog in our house. When we got a dog, first thing we did is we put this fence around our yard, keep the dog in. We do that with kids. We put up a fence to keep them in. And Paul was saying that the law that God gave was to keep us safe until fullness came. It wasn't intended to be there forever. And so with this in mind, as we walk through Galatians, we found, and I used it many times, Paul's statement right there in the middle of the book where he says, guys, you're foolish, you foolish Galatians. foolish being, having lack of good sense, judgment, or discretion. And if you remember, I kind of walked you through some of the things that we would never do today. We would never go back and go and let someone drill holes in our brain to let out pressure. We would never go back and drink mercury or some of these other things, because we've come to an understanding in medicine that these are not good practices. Right, Joy? Anybody else, nurse, medical field? We know that these things are not good. And so in the same way, Paul's saying, guys, you'd be foolish to go back to something that doesn't work. It wasn't part of your experience. Why would you go back and grab a hold of this? And so as we walked our way through this, we were reminded that Jesus, he didn't come and say, we're getting rid of all this stuff. He said, I've actually come, and in me, the purpose of the law, the intent of the law, can now be completely realized. It can be brought to a place of perfection or place of maturity where no longer do you need the bounds. He says, in me, you come to that place where you can now move in freedom because you understand and you're able. You have been given the power by the Spirit to live out the intent of the law. With that in mind, we found Galatians 5:1 that says that Jesus Christ came to set us free from those bounds. No longer did we have to go through all the rituals. No longer did we have to cling to the high festivals. No longer did we need the sacrifices, because in Christ Jesus, the purpose of all those things has now been set free, or have been accomplished, and you and I have been set free to simply walk in fellowship with God. Not as slaves, not under the burden of a whip, not under the threat of punishment, but now it told us that you and I have been adopted as children. And we can come to his table, we can now walk in fellowship with him day by day. Why would you give this up? 2 Corinthians says that in the message of Christ, not just recorded on paper, but the reality of that gospel truth, that in Christ Jesus, when we embrace him and the Spirit of God fills us, now you and I can walk through life, go through our days, just as Jesus did, walking in love towards God, towards other, and day by day, the more that we walk that out, the more we would start to look and smell and act like Jesus Christ to the world around us. Romans 8 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the ones that are truly children of God. Our relationship with God, our ability to be connected with him, to be part of his family, is not found in a physical relationship with God as the Jewish people tried to cling to, being able to define their connection to God through Abraham. Paul was telling us that we have been adopted, we have been brought into the family of God, and the way that we walk that out, that we prove that, is we walk it out day by day. We listen to him. We hear what he's saying. We sit at his table, have conversation with him. How many people have ever gone to a table with your family and you're arguing and you don't want to talk with each other and you just sit there? And no one wants to say anything. Hopefully, that's not your experience too much. Hopefully, when you sit down at a table with friends or family or someone, that there's enough of a relationship that you have a little bit of conversation, that you learn a little bit, you share a little bit about each other. And the same thing with God is that we've been invited to come to his table, to sit in his presence, to hear his heartbeat, and then to, having heard that, having been touched by that, having been stirred by that, that we would now go out and walk it out, live in that relationship. We said that this is what the whole purpose of coming to Christ Jesus was all about. That having been cut off from the old way of life, the old system of life, and being grafted into the vine of Christ Jesus, that all the life in Christ Jesus now, by our connection to God through Christ, can flow through us. Galatians 5 says that the reality is, having been grafted into this vine, having been given the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that walked with Christ, that anointed Christ as he came into the presence of God in the wilderness, that same Spirit dwells in you and me, and now our privilege is to walk day by day as he speaks to us, as he teaches us. Not having to go and refer to a book of do's and don'ts, But having just tuned in our ear to God, he would be able to tell us, do this, you'll bless your brother or your sister. Don't do that, that'll hurt them. Do this, that'll please me. Stay away. And it's conversation. It's not a book of laws. And so Galatians 5, as we saw last week, says when we do that, when the power of God, the presence of God, is flowing into us and through us, just like a healthy vine, a vine that grows grapes or a vine that grows tomatoes, when the vine is healthy, the fruit itself is healthy. And fruit then can be picked and it can be shared. It's sweet. It brings nourishment. It brings refreshment. And the plan and the purpose of God was not that we lived by a list of do's and don'ts. That's like a child being told, don't stick your finger in the socket. Don't play in the street. You don't say that, hopefully, to your 30 or 40-year-old child. You figure that by that time, they probably figured it out, that they don't stick intentionally their a knife into the socket or play in the street. I don't know, Jim, you're laughing too much. I'm not sure you got the message yet. You know what, Tammy? You might have to correct him. He's too far gone. Okay. But the same thing when we come to the presence, when we come to God through Christ Jesus, is now we have the privilege, we have the Spirit dwelling in us, and we've come to a spiritual level of maturity. We're now in conversation. We can know what pleases God. And we respond through that, not because we're afraid he's going to beat us up or judge us. Judgments has already fallen on Christ Jesus. And so in the presence of God, when the life of God is flowing in us and through us, fruit that blesses and pleases and brings nourishment and refreshment to others, now that can flow through our lives and be released into the experience and life of others. And it said in Galatians chapter 5, against those things, the fruit that flows in our lives, the life that brings blessing and encouragement and refreshing to others, there is no law. There doesn't have to be a law. Because God doesn't want to restrain or constrain us in those areas. He wants us to be set free to bring those things of blessing to others. And so Paul says, man, you're living in a place nothing constrains you. You're responding to God by a heart overflowing with love. And when you do, God doesn't want to stop the good things that are flowing from his presence through you. He wants to set it free so that you'll dump gallons and gallons and truckloads of love and joy and peace and hope into the lives of people around you. Not because it says, go shake your neighbor's hand, go help them when his donkey falls in a pit. His purpose is that our lives, without even thinking, just by loving God and doing what we see Jesus doing, and speaking like Jesus speaks, and walking and touching like Jesus does, that our lives, not because we're constrained by laws, but that we've been set free, we would just be lives overflowing with blessing that bring hope to so many others. And so now we come, with all those things having been the foundation behind us, now we've come to the place in, as the book is ready to close, and Galatians chapter 6 starts to pull this all back together. And without going through every single verse in here, I just want to bring out a couple thoughts, because I think in these thoughts, the whole intent, the whole purpose, the whole message of Galatians is kind of brought to a focus. Galatians chapter 6, as our sister Kim read, said this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It says right after that, it says that each person is to carry their own burdens, their own loads. You know, every single one of us, how many people think you got problems in your life? Yep, we do. Day by day, we all have a certain measure of issues and difficulties. Every single one of us, as we get up in age, you start to feel, oh, man, it hurts when you get out of bed sometimes. It hurts when you go to bed sometimes. It hurts just to open your eyes. Sometimes you look at your checkbook and you're struggling. And sometimes these are just the regular things about life. That's called just our daily load. We all have a certain amount of stuff we have to carry. But sometimes, God, because he's doing something in us, around us, and through us, he gives us something that's just a little bit more than we can carry by ourselves. And it now becomes, it moves from the daily load into that place of burden. It comes into that place where now the weight of carrying that starts to pull you down. And you're almost under threat. You're not going to be able to make it. and the message of the Scriptures is that that's where you and I come in. And because we're in love with God and we're in love with our brothers and sisters, I mean, when people all around us to see the love, the touch, the presence, the reality of God, now God says, I've designed this community of people so that you, in such a network of relationship with each other, that you will be the one to bring the reality and the presence of God into the situation where your brother or your sister is under that burden about to be crushed. When it moves from the level of simply a daily load to the burden that's going to crush, you and I are called to come alongside our brother and sister and help them. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental or emotional. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's a struggle spiritually. Sometimes we're under attack. Sometimes sin is just overwhelming us. And the message of the Scriptures of Paul, if we pull all these truths together, this is where the reality of the book of Galatians, the freedom of Christ, is seen. We're not looking at our brother and sister and judging them because they're under a burden that they can't carry. We don't look at them and disdain them because, ah, you're a sinner. You've stumbled with that so long, I'm done with you. What happens to you? You know how to spend your money? You must be sinning because that's why you're sick. Scripture says, my brothers and my sisters, the call of Christ Jesus is not to look upon our brothers and sisters and heap upon them and increase their load. But you and I, with hearts overflowing, Scripture says, love covers over, hides a multitude of sins and struggles and failures. And that's where the reality of all that Jesus Christ has come to set us free is played out. First, in the family of God. John Piper, who I really like to read, said this, and I'm just going to read it because I couldn't have said it any better. If a Christian brother or sister is weighed down or menaced by some burden or threat, be alert to that and do something quickly to help. Don't let them be crushed. Don't let them be destroyed. Don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus said, and then he quotes Matthew 23:4, they, the Pharisees, bind heavy loads that are hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will do nothing. They won't even move a finger to help. Our call is not to increase burdens, but to make them lighter. My brothers and sisters, if somehow we can embrace this message of Galatians and get to the place where we see this is what we've been called to do, and the more we do this, the greater the presence of God and the character of God is seen, we will then be carrying out the message of Christ Jesus in John 13 to love. By this, not our judgments, not our segregations, but by the love that pours from the throne of God through us into the world around us, that's how the world would know that we follow him. Romans 13:8 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing, never lifted debt that we carry because of all God's done, and that's the burden of love to pour upon our brothers and sisters. Galatians 6 says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of God. This is our call. This is our invitation. I love that phrase where he says, while we have opportunity, if you have life, if you have breath, if you have the ability to see and smell and hear and walk and talk today, you will have opportunity. In fact, I think about it this way. I think about day by day, windows open and close, like driving down a road. A sign or a tree or a scene may come into view for a moment and then it disappears. I believe that day by day, God allows us as we go through our lives, the window, the moment opens on a person's life, and then as the day goes by and the week goes by, it closes. The moment that a brother or sister, a person around us, their life comes into focus, their need, we need to be tuned in to the voice of God, and then we'll be able to reach through, touch their lives for Christ Jesus while the window's there, because my brothers and sisters, the windows come and they go. They open and close moment by moment, day by day. This is the call, the book of Galatians. Galatians 5, verses 5 to 6. I've read this once before, but this is where I want to end. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are eagerly awaiting the righteousness for which we hope, the right standing with God. We are not trying to earn it of ourselves, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. The things of the law, they have no value. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. Coming now, and they're going to...